Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction.
The most strategic thing to know in any season is what God is doing in that season. It is not enough to have the consciousness that you are coming into a new season. It is not enough to even know that this is the Last Day Church. It is not enough to even know that we are in the era of revival. It is important we know what God is doing in era of revival.
He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Amen. Now, one very important reason why I told her I'll be here is that, number one, she's one of the most consistent person I've seen with our work in ministry. Very consistent. And I also know that there's a force of a blessing that must come for the next phase. Amen. There's a force of a blessing that must what? That must come. And it's not going to be about the phone. I have to be here to lay hands on her and decree blessings for the next phase. And I'm going to share a few things that the Lord has said to me. Is that okay? All right. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for your people. Thank you for this great house. Be exalted, dear Lord. We ask, O Lord, that your word will find expression in our lives and your spirit will sit upon our lives. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated for a few minutes. Originally, she wanted me to start by past 11 till 1 or thereabouts. But now that I've not been able to start by that time, I'll make sure I stay faithful with the time to hand. So a lot of things have to be said in a short time. Amen. And I just bless God for this ministry again. Particularly, if you are among those that God has placed under this woman of God, you are in the best place you should be. Do you know that? There are very few leaders who carry their people at heart the way she does. And the best place she should be. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter number 5. Let's start reading from verse 10. So you can understand the contextual deviation in that scripture. And then you can now understand the context in which verse 14 was said. And what to expect when you get to that level of verse 14. Matthew chapter number 5, please. If you can give us from verse 10. Matthew 5 from verse 10. King James translation, preferably. Look at the way it starts. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it starts with the word persecution. Then verse 11. Now, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and what? Persecute you. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12 now. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so, we are seeing that word again, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verse 13 now. Ye are the salt of the earth, But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? So, what is the context of this verse 13? According to scriptures, what is the Bible saying is powerful to make the salt lose its savour? It's persecution. When you face persecution, if you are not careful, you stop being sweet. Amen? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under the foot of men. So, the salt can lose its taste. Now, let's understand verse 14. Go to verse 14 now. Another word to describe you. You are the light of what? The world. I'm going to be very brief. Once I get to where I'm going, and I leave you there. If you look at this statement, the first statement, you are the light of the world. It is not as simple as it looks. You know why? There are very few people who are fulfilling these scriptures. People are either a light in their office, or a light in their family, or a light in their church, or a light in the body of Christ. But that's not it. It said you ought to be the light of where? The world. And this missing link is giving us issues. Alright? It's giving us issues. And why is it? Why did we have the issues we have? The reason is because people just believed at some point that the length and the breadth of everything God will do with you as a believer is the church. So we start losing it. Then our light now begins to, at some point, reduce the intensity. And at other point, reduce the locality. That's how we get to where we are. So it is very possible. Now, hear me. Maybe this is a word of deliverance for somebody. It is very possible that the moment you are born again and spirit-filled and in a field of career, and you are functioning in that field, it is very possible to lose your peace and even hear words and visions that God doesn't want to use you there. And yet, it is not God who is speaking. And yet, it is not God who is taking away your peace. It is the doctrine that has been built in you over time. Very possible. Because if everybody brings this light only to the microphone, then our Josephs, our Daniels, and many of them like that, our Nehemiahs, will perish. So we have, it looks like a blessing. The devil has attacked our revival. and restricted us to the church. So now that we are trying to come out and say this is what we ought to have always been, then they are saying you ought to have remained where? In the church. Because of time, so painful. I would have loved to break down for you the interest of God in the world. Because even God, His love is not restricted to the church. For God so loves the church? No. For God so loves? When you understand the interest of God in the world, then you will not be a local champion. Amen. One of my boys came to me and he has a degree in something, aviation, something, I've forgotten which one. And he wanted prayers that doors will open for him to get a job. They are the ones that clear planes for flight. So I looked at him. Which one is easier to say kneel down as we always do as pastors and lay hands on him, or to call an organization I know that runs the largest private jet in Nigeria? Which one is easier? Huh? If you restrict this light only to the church, you will suffer for his mercies and endure it forever. You will suffer with grace, with anointing, and with possibilities. Because God will not forever strive with men. With all his spirit and his ability in your life, if you decide this is how far you want him to operate, that's how far he will operate. At some point in my life, in this city, I notice anytime I go to boutique to buy clothes, I feel guilty. And when I go to buy books, I feel this. I thought it was the Holy Ghost until I found out that it was some spirit who didn't want me to look like the good news. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, it is, if you don't look like your message, you will not be accepted. And your message too will not be accepted. I thought it was the Holy Ghost. And I was boasting about it. So when you hear my teaching, talking about the days I was wearing just one shoe. Actually, let's leave it. So it doesn't look like I'm teaching you how to be carnal. Do you want to hear? Are you sure? Are you sure? Let me give you an illustration. I'm not sure if you saw this inspiring case of Toby Amuson that won recently. I'm not sure if you saw how that the school, secondary school. I know that secondary school. I am Catholic Girls College, Ijebode. Now went to Dubana. And the girls now carried it. I said, we celebrate Senior Toby. Can I tell you one thing? If you strive to shine, nobody will debate your placement in life. Not right yet. What that means is, if I tell you to go and buy a bulb, and I say, go to the room and fix the bulb, automatically. You don't look down, you look. Once you become the light, nobody debate your placement. Two things. Persecution can make salt lose the taste. But the kind that you are is not just the salt, but you are also the light. Meaning that as long as you shine, stay up. But there are different kind of light. Let me give an instance. If you bring, if this place is dark right now, and you strike a matchstick, it will give it a level of illumination. True or not true? Yes. But if this place was like the size of a stadium, if you strike a matchstick, will anybody know anything came up? No. Don't just be a light, be a burning and a shining light. You will not fail. Say that amen loud and clear.
Amen.
Failure is an orphan. Are you aware? Are you aware? I said failure is an orphan. Are you aware? Do you know what that means? The moment you begin to do well, you will know the number of family members you have. Your uncles who have become a mystery in the days you were in school, they will show up and tell you how they are your father's brother's younger sister brother's wife. Because everybody loves light. Don't let the devil cheat you. The devil cheats Christians with scriptures. So if you know the Bible, if the devil is going to cheat you, he will cheat you using the Bible. I believe that one of the burdens of God for this meeting is to strategically replace people in their angle of destiny. Now, you are the light of the world. Read the second part. Huh? So what does that mean? Okay, let me ask you of two things. Is the Bible saying you are a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hidden? Or the Bible is saying you are the light of the world just as a city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden? Because there are differences. And if you don't understand the difference, you've missed the message. So what is the Bible saying? Is the Bible saying you are the light of the world? You are a city that is set upon? Because that's what we read, many of us. And then there are also people who read this third one. I think they are the majority. They read, you are the light of the world. You are a city that is set on the hill. No, you are the light of the world. You are a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hid. Then some read, you are the light of the world. You are a building that is set on the hill. That's what forms in their mind. I'm a building on the hill. So when you read it, the imagination that forms on your mind is not like looking at the whole Ibadan on a hill. What comes to your mind is like looking at this building on a hill. Because Ibadan is a city. Now you're not talking now. So imagine looking at the entire Ibadan on a hill. Can you look at it and say you are not seeing something? Can I say this to you? When you look at a city, it is complete. It has completely all that is necessary for survival and existence. So in that city, you have a school, you have hospitals, you have roads, you have different forms of workers, you have engineers, you have entertainers, you have all those things. Don't be a building when you can be a city. Don't. Now let me try to help your mind in a moment. How big is OAU and OUI? How big are these schools? Okay, OAU is a bit bigger, right? Federal government, they took lands. OUI, person had to buy and work for his money. It is one thing to still be a student. It is another thing to be a celebrated student. It is another thing for you to see yourself at this level as one that God has lifted will one day be able to buy the entire OAU. The reason why when we look at this scripture, what we see on the hill is a building, is because of the fallen nature that's affected our minds. When man fell in Genesis chapter number 3, and God called out in the cool of the evening and said, "Adam, where are thou?" And he said, "We heard your voice and we hid ourselves." Let me give you the anatomy of Adam. If you had seen Adam, he was not looking the way you are looking. The way Adam was is that the external part that is the visible part is the glory. So let me tell you the difference between the glory and natural things. Have you seen a Yahoo boy that has a car and has some money? Then you see another born again Christian that is doing his work and has a car and has some money. They may be driving the same car, but something covers one that does not cover the other, that make you see graciousness on one and see the other one as useless. The absence of that glory will make the Yahoo boy wear the torn jeans and despite the money still look stupid. It means when you see Adam, you are seeing him, but you are not really seeing him. Something covers him that you cannot be familiar with the externalities. That thing was glowing to the degree of the fellowship with God. It was a glowing beam, radiating God's Shekinah glory. So when he fell and was hiding, it was like light was shining out of the flesh. How do you take something with more intensity than the sun and hide it behind a tree? So God said, "Where are thou?" He said, "We heard your voice. We hid ourselves." For where? A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. You must have believed something so deeply that made you successfully hide. He didn't get it. Adam was a light of God's creation. He was a man that creation respected the way they respect God. So he said, "We heard your voice and hid ourselves, for we are naked." God said, now hold on a minute. When he said they were naked, what is he saying as left? Was he clothed? What left? What did he think as left? The glory. So God said, "Who told you that you are naked?"
Because even that glory, it took him almost 1,000 years for him to be completely stripped. He did not enter the 1,000 years because we are the only ones that will enter with Christ at the millennium reign. It would have taken him longer. So what he believed, he was stripped off in 5 minutes. It took him almost 1,000 years to really lose it. Are you seeing how that your mentality can limit what is there? So let me ask you a question. Who told you that you are small? Will I come? Don't forget this illustration from today. Is that okay? I want to show you something. If you meet this man, and we are meeting for the first time, before time began, and I meet him, and I say, hello, how are you doing? He says, I'm fine. Don't bow. He says, I'm fine. And I say, what is your name? And he replies by saying, I am the Almighty. Won't you laugh? Almighty. Over what? The plants? Where are they? The birds of the air? Where are they? Because nothing was in existence. And he says, that's who I am. Without seeing everything you now see about how mighty this God is, if you met him then, would you believe he's God? And yet, the distance between him and the physical things and how compares your own belief is the spoken words. And even as at that time, the words were already in his loins. If you meet an Abraham over 99 years old without a child, and they are calling him father of many nations, would you laugh? Because by the default, one of the defects of your fallen nature is that things need to be manifested for you to believe. Meanwhile, everything from Genesis to Revelation is God trying to show us the way he operates. And how does he operate? In the simple terms, captured in the book of Hebrews, he called for the things that be not, so they were. You are far away. So the way God operates is, number one, his definition is about his essence, not his hands. His size is about who he is, not what he has. I think I'm going too deep. Even though I'm slow, let me explain. So what God wants you to learn is that according to my constitution, I am not God when I now have. I have been God before I have. Before he has it, he is I am. What that means is, as far as you are concerned, you are waiting for your tomorrow to be encouraged, right? When you see a glimpse of it, right? But the way God wants to function is that even while you are in your today, your tomorrow is locked up in your bowels.
It is not a function of government, visa, or nations. It is a function of the word in your spirit. And it is as good as the quality of the word, not as good as the quality of your account. I know we've talked into this area before, even here, but you know the word of God is new every morning. Are you aware? If God shows you now, and you see the next 10 years, and you see yourself standing in different nations and doing all manner of things, what will happen to you now? You will rejoice, right? And be glad. But God doesn't want you to have that kind of joy, because that kind of joy is idol worshiping. What He wants you to do is to now learn to allow His word from the picture that visions are no longer necessary. That if God looks at you now without a child and say, Abraham, you don't say, why are you mocking me? You say, if you call me so, I am so. So, the reason why I'm asking you is this. At what point do you become a city set upon the hill? When things are getting better or even now? These are questions we have to ask. Okay, hold on. What are you now? Huh? Huh? Are you sure? A city? What is the hill? Because this statement simply means a city, the builder of all things, is God. In the book of Hebrews, they describe, they say they look forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. What hill? I will lift up my head to the hill from whence cometh my help. Scripture described Christ as the rock that followed them in the wilderness. So I'm a city built by God, set on God. Somebody say on God. Number one, this city cannot be invaded. Write it in capital letters. We are just having a Bible study. Alright? Please be seated. So, let me, as I wrap up the illustration I used him for, life is not easy for the blind. God does not want you to walk through life blind. Are you following what I'm saying? What does the blind do? The judgment and every parameters around that judgment is based on what they can see. So you know greatness the moment you can see it. But can you recognize greatness as a level of prophecies that have gone ahead of a person? If you introduce yourself now and say you went to Harvard, you went to all these things, say, oh, wow, this is a, I met a great man today, this. But if this fellow introduced himself and said, I have a word from God about my future, and God said this and said that, who amongst them is a great man? Because when God says it, He settles it. The word is a divine insurance. It means this fellow is not permitted to die or go until the word comes to pass. Because not a drop of that word will go unfulfilled. But this guy whose greatness has already been manifested, that tomorrow we don't know, because it is not within the framework of the insurance of the word. What this means is, you begin to enjoy the God kind of life when your greatest asset is the word. Say loud and clear, I'm a city that cannot be invaded. Say it again. Do you know what that means? Let me give you an instance. I'm already tying up now to close. Okay, look up. How many of you are born again here? Spirit filled. Born again. Spirit filled. Now, come. Do you know that based on divine order, a believer is higher? Now, I'm not talking about an anointed believer who prays 40 days marathon. I'm talking about a believer. I can't use the word just a believer, because you can't use just to describe someone that Christ thought powerful enough to die for. I'm talking about a believer, a born again Christian. Are you aware in rank that believer has all that it takes to trample upon principalities and powers, upon snakes? That believer is not carrying any armor in this. That just that believer, like that. But it will take the believer to believe something against his divine nature for witches to not trample on him. If only you know that the greatest power in the universe resides in what you call the least of believers, then you will now know how dangerous you are. Now that with that Holy Ghost you have received dangerous impartations and all that. When you got to campus, you came with 5.0 CGP. You will now have to learn how to depreciate for you to go back home with whatever you have. In the same light, when you came into Christ, you enter in the fullness. So when Jesus was talking to one of the church, he said, remember the height from whence you are falling. When a man gives his life to Christ, now where he's standing is on a hill. It will take now believing some dangerous, demeaning doctrines to now feel lesser than what Christ actually gave. So I'm asking you again, at what point do you become a city on the hill? At what point do you become a city on the hill? So when you begin to believe wrongly, what now happens to many believers is this. In a city, we have many things. Are you following what I'm saying? You see people with multidimensional grace. Then you now begin to see that the moment this believer believes, a Christian should not participate in politics. Number one, political power is taken from that city. A Christian, I cannot have all this anointing and go and sit down in the office as a medical doctor. That one is taken from the city. At the end of the day, what will be left in Oipu city is just one church. What is left in your own city? No, tell me. A shooty color. No, talk. I decree and declare, if there's anything the devil has made you believe contrary to God's purpose for your life, and the effect those wrong seeds are produced, they are destroyed to the root. They are destroyed to the root. Amen. So what is God's plan for you? He wants you to be the light of the world. You know that in physics, they'll tell you that if you pass a white light into, say, a glass prism now, it breaks into how many? 7. How many? 7. Do you want to see the 7? Let me show you in the Bible. Please sit down. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. You know, I like to show people their Bibles so, one, they can know it is there. And when you go back home, you can sit with it knowing that it is there. Isaiah, I think, chapter number 11. Sorry, please. Isaiah 11 from verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, the same way you are just a rod coming from your father's house, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Yes? and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of, you see this one? This was the one that sat on Solomon that made him the wealthiest man. This is just one out of the seven on you. Then number two, the Spirit of understanding. The man that was described to have understanding is the Prince of Tyros. Scripture says that he has knowledge of the hidden mysteries of God. Then you also have the Spirit of counsel, Ahithophel, that even David will tremble and quake, because whoever this man advises, he will win. This is just one out of what is on you. Then you have the Spirit of might. This was the only one on Samson. Might. Then you have the Spirit of knowledge. Do you know what the Spirit of knowledge is? How many of you have struggled with mathematics before? And while sitting, some of you didn't just struggle, you are still struggling. Thank you, Holy Spirit. While sitting in the math exam, you are just saying, she being a colour invent math. What was that person thinking, no? Meanwhile, your mates are solving. Scripture says this spirit rested on a guy called Bezaleel. And he had knowledge of all manner of workmanship. He's just one out of the seven on you. And then you have the spirit. Oh, I think I left the first one. The Spirit of the Lord. That's the first one. That's the Lordship of God. That was what Paul encountered. That said, "Who art thou, Lord?" When the supremacy of God sit on a man. That was the spirit that came upon Ezekiel. That built the miracle of the valley of dry bones. And then you have the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, these are the seven dimensions of the operation of the Holy Ghost upon your life. It means if we pass this light that is upon you through the lens of this world, we should have multidimensional expression. You are in one man, Daniel, Samson, Elijah plus together, and the result you get is not less, is not up to the result of one of them. Because the enemy doesn't mind even if it is there, as long as he can make you believe you are less. When I saw the topic of this meeting, I lifted my head and said, "Oh God, help us." But you know the beautiful thing? Even if you have lost any ground to the enemy, the moment you believe, you take what is yours. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, can I tell somebody here that there is a multidimensional spirit within you? Now, let me tell you the reason why you cannot afford not to be multidimensional in this world. It is because many people are compromising and failing God. And from them that has not, what they have will be taken and given to them that have. So you've got to create more rooms. That when you think this is the best of God, he's saying no. We are just starting. You can't define a man that his hand is upon his life. Because what you are seeing is not all there is. Just the beginning. I've come to just open your mind. More will be coming. A season is coming. That when you come back to this city, you single-handedly will finish all these roads. Because you don't just have what it takes to erase the dead. If you erase them without repairing their road, they will have accident and die. One of the reasons why we are struggling the way we are struggling is because the devil has interest in national matters. Why does he have interest in national matters? It is to his best interest and his advantage that people are small. So manipulate the direction of flow of money. Let it go to the hands of people that the Holy Ghost is not within them. They will see the devil is not against you having money. Renounce Jesus now and go and do ritual. You see that you have money. But the conditions guiding that, number one,
you will not live long enough to repent. Huh? Number two, they will tell you, you can't use that money to help anybody to break through. So an average Yahoo boy can buy 10 gouda for you, but he can't give you transport fare. You know why? Because the devil is interested in your hardship. Do you get what I'm saying? I said the devil, he loves it. You know what he loves the most? The moment you now have a scripture that it is God who is making me suffer, he will dance and say, this one's wilderness experience is not going to be 40 days. It's going to be for life. Amen. What are you now seated here? Huh? 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 Ah. Somebody will now go and lock window like Adam and start playing some dirty things on the phone. You are not eating. You are not eating. You have come too far with God to be hidden. Your angels are just disappointed. That does he know who he is? Samuel was just a man until Saul went to the witch of Endor to evoke him out, and she screamed. What I see, what I'm seeing is like a god coming from out of the earth. That was his stature. With all these things you have within you, you are now envying a Yahoo boy. You are envying a runs girl. Somebody that they are patching and taking away progress to where God is waiting and giving 10,000, 15,000 money for her. All those money that some young runs girls are collecting, that's some of us offering per service. That was what Esau didn't know. He was eating porridge. As he was eating the porridge, you know what was happening? In the spirit realm, exchange. David was stepping out from his lineage. Moses, step out of his lineage. Ezekiel, step out of his lineage. He didn't know it was bad until Jesus walked out of that lineage. If you leave this place without understanding of who you are in the spirit realm, you will not envy those who should. There are people that should study you. You are now envying them. Lift your hands. Say it loud and clear. From today, I know who I am. Say it with pride. Say it with dignity. Let me round up with you with a scripture. Psalms 82, start from verse 5. Just give me the strings slowly. Lift it up again. Rise everybody, let me give you a scripture as we round up. Now start this Psalms 82 from verse 3. Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. Yes? Deliver the poor and the needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Yes? They know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Now, because they don't know something, they have to walk on in darkness. And then the foundations of the earth are out of course. Because of something they didn't know. What is that they don't know? Verse 6. Quickly, verse 6. I have said, yeah, God, all of you are children. Huh? I saw a video yesterday. Somebody now went to sleep with a girl one of the daughters of the Most High and cut her head and buried her in his room. They know not. Neither do they understand. I know who I am. And the power that is in me is the greatest power in the universe. It is bigger than bandits. I was praying with a very coded set of people, and we're asking a question, praying for Nigeria. And we asked, now bandits in Abuja, why Abuja? Why not Abuja? Joshua Selman went to Abuja. Jerry Eze went to Abuja. Oropo went to Abuja. And God is still channeling many people to Abuja. We are moving to Abuja this year. You now say the devil will not revolt. And as I'm seeing the news of the bandits, I say, oh boy, I'm excited to be going into this hot zone. We are made for such a time as this. Could it be that the devil is fighting not because you are nothing, but because you are more than what you think? To pronounce blessings on you, that God's multidimensional streams. Now, listen to me. What I've taught it today is the word of prophecy that God has given to me for this house. That God will begin to give you people that out of their bellies, different dimensions and different streams will emerge. So you are going to see God leading you, not just in the area of spirituality, but also in fields where you are going to be raising professionals. And it's going to be giving you a voice in that direction. And sometimes you look like there's a watering down on the things that God has said. It is not a watering down, it's a spreading. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now I decree and declare over you, any world has been locked up within you because of unbelief and because you didn't see them. The areas that ought to function that now look like God has not poured grace on you for those areas, because you just won't believe. I decree and I declare, beginning from this meeting, you begin to see them in yet a new dimension. There will be a revival of different expressions of grace to you. People carrying the unction on Joseph, who will solve problems for kings and territories. People carrying the unction on Daniel, who will be men who will represent excellence, integrity, and power in strange lands. People carrying dimensions of Esther, who will be through beauty, step out in favor, and win the heart of kings. People carrying the dimension of Deborah, who are priests, prophets, wife, professionals. I decree the wells of multidimensional manifestations is revived from within you. You will begin now. For some of you, God has been saying some things until you begin to hear some things and he kept quiet. You will begin to receive instruction in the area of destiny. I ask that the hand of God that set men apart comes upon this house. In Jesus' mighty name. Give the Lord a big, big hand.
The blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME.
To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of this account's details. Account number 221-500-5289. Femi Lazarus Ministries.